It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
But isn't that correct?
What is correct is that on February 10th, Monday, I gave instructions as to what the...
Reclaiming my time.
Yeah, I'm answering your question.
So you got to let him answer.
Reclaiming my time.
On February 10th.
Sir.
On February 10th, I directed...
Reclaiming my time, sir. Reclaiming my time. And I know you don't want to answer...
You are wrong, Mr. Attorney General. He's found the investigation
found
had been
no
initiated
evidence.
Properly.
He said he found
reclaiming
no
my time without political bias.
He said he
and
found
in
no
April,
evidence.
Reclaiming my time.
That's
reclaiming
where the
video my time.
Is from. That's
reclaiming
where the
video my time.
Is without any remedy at all.
I'm reclaiming my time.
When people resist law enforcement, they're not peaceful.
Reclaiming my time. I'm surprised at your lack of respect.
Gentleman does not have the time.
I don't want the time. I want the Attorney General to be able to have enough time to respond to accusations and questions asked him, and you guys not cut him off.
What you want is irrelevant.
Do you have anything you want to say in response to the speeches that have been given by the other side, and then you've been cut off?
Yeah, well, let's, on Lafayette.
The gentleman's time has expired.
Tell me the name of the cases.
I don't have the name of the cases.
Where were South Carolina and Alabama?
You'll have a chance to comment after your testimony is done here today.
That it is not a self-defining term, as they
only got 2 minutes, sir.
That they recognized,
Mr. Barr, if I
yeah,
may.
But this is a hearing. I thought I was the one that was supposed to be heard.
Well, let me, and I'm going to get there.
That was an amazing hearing yesterday. That was Attorney General William Barr, of course. With all the gravitas he brings, he is the Attorney General of the United States, and I have in my lifetime never seen an Attorney General treated with less respect than he was by the House Judiciary Committee yesterday afternoon, chaired by Gerald Nadler. Remember that Nadler is the guy that just a few days ago, in an interaction with a reporter, said Antifa was a myth. There's nothing like that. It's just a myth. And so he's in charge of justice in the country for the House. You know, he represents the House of Representatives. He's the leader, the chairman of the Committee on the Judiciary. General Barr is the Attorney General. They should be working together to stop the violence, to make sure that there's justice, that the laws are faithfully applied. But no, what we saw yesterday was amazing. I watched almost all 4 hours of this, and I have to say I was never bored because it was just jaw-droppingly disgusting. It started with Gerald Nadler being late because they said he had a car accident. He wasn't hurt. They said there was, you know, it's just strange. Just 45-minute delay because he allegedly had a car accident, and there's no information about that as far as I can tell. So, all right, so let's say, you know, he must have had a car accident. In the hearing room, one of the things I thought was really interesting, you will recall if you've watched any of those hearings, the table at which the person being... you know, grilled, really, or it shouldn't be grilling, but that's what it's turned into, is usually large, you know, where they have lots of room to put their stuff, and it's sort of grand-looking. It's covered with a cloth. They had Attorney General Barr, who's not a small man, sitting at a very small table, extremely small. And see, things like that are done for a reason. They're done for an effect to your eyes when you see them. They're trying to diminish him, but it didn't work. And so you heard in that opening clip what was really typical. Each person that grilled him so rudely on the Democratic Party would not let him talk. It was a stream of accusations, and when he tried to respond, they just interrupted him. It was really a disgrace. And I'll just give you an idea. It was started by Gerald Nadler, the chairman. This is kind of the tone which he set, and I want you to hear. This is clip 8.
Can you commit today that the department will not use federal law enforcement as a prop in the president's reelection campaign?
We are not using federal law enforcement.
I just want to close with this thought. You really can't hide behind legal fictions this time, Mr. Barr. It's all out in the open, where the people can see what you are doing for themselves. The president wants footage for his campaign ads, and you appear to be serving it up to him as ordered. In most of these cities, the protests had begun to wind down before you marched in and confronted the protesters. And the protesters aren't mobs. They are mothers and veterans and mayors. In this moment, real leadership would entail de-escalation, collaboration, and looking for ways to peaceably resolve our differences. Instead, you use pepper spray and truncheons on American citizens. You did it here in Washington. You did it at Lafayette Square. You expanded to Portland. And now you are projecting fear and violence nationwide in pursuit of obvious political objectives. Shame on you, Mr. Barr.
Can I just say, Mr.
Shame on you.
Can I just
My
say,
My time has expired. For what purpose does Mr. Jordan see recognition? My time has expired. For what purpose does Mr.
Johnson
see recognition?
Questions for the witness, and I will yield the floor to him to respond. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, you've conflated two different things. The effort, like legend, is to deal
all right,
with
I'm
violent
not, I,
crime.
General Barr crime. Goes on, then gives a very explanation. He doesn't answer all the accusations, but he lays out very calmly what is actually true and what isn't true on the sending in troops in various parts of the country. That's what he chooses to respond to. But what you just heard was Gerald Nadler slinging all of these accusations at him in the most derisive manner, as you just heard. And then when General Barr wants to answer, saying, my time is up, you know. So Congressman Johnson, instead of speaking, yielded his time back to General Barr so that General Barr could answer at least part of those accusations. And that's the way it went. One of the stunning moments, really, this was like laughable. It's at the end of the hearing, 4 hours later. General Barr asked, I wish we had the clip of this, but General Barr asked for 10 minutes, or 5 minutes, a five-minute break. Could I please have, he doesn't do this the whole 4 hours. He says, could I have a five-minute break? And Gerald Nadler said, no. And then the place erupts. Jim Jordan, who is the majority member, meaning the ranking Republican on the committee, says, in all of my years, I've never heard someone deny a request from a witness for a break. Well, we're almost done. You can't have it. And so General Barr starts laughing. He said, you are a class act to Nadler while he's laughing. But then Nadler relented and let him have his five-minute break. But that's the kind of circus it was. It was just amazing. In fact, let's listen to it.
Ms. Dean is recognized.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, could we take a five-minute break?
Ms. Dean is recognized.
Could we take a five-minute break, Mr. Chairman?
No.
That's a common courtesy, Mr.
Dean is
Chairman,
recognized.
Of every witness.
I waited 45 hour for you this morning. I haven't had lunch. I'd like to take a five-minute break.
Mr. Attorney General, we are almost finished. We're going to be finished in a few minutes. We can certainly take a break, but
you're real class.
Well, okay. Yeah,
after
this, if you still want, we'll have a break.
No, he wants a break now.
You want it now?
And you just mentioned rudeness. I think we're seeing it on display. Let's let the Attorney General have a break.
Committee will stand in recess now.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
All right, and that's the way. That's just stunning. That's jaw dropping. The Attorney General of the United States voluntarily went before this committee to testify 4 hours. He sat there and took their abuse, and he took it like a gentleman. I mean, he did really put them in their place every opportunity he had. He did it with tremendous grace and authority, and they treat him like this, like he can't even take a restroom break. I mean, it really was stunning. Also, this will give you another example of the disrespect. Hank Johnson, the congressman, I think he's from Georgia, grilled him on the Stone sentencing. I want you to hear this back and forth. This is clip four.
You think the American people don't understand that you were carrying out Trump's?
I was not. I had not discussed my sentencing recommendation with anyone at the White House or anyone,
President, exactly,
or anyone outside
what the
President department.
President wanted you to do. And that's what you did.
No.
Let me ask you,
do you think it's fair? Do you think it is fair for a 67-year-old man to be sent to prison for 7 to 9 years?
It was in accordance with the sentencing.
No, it was not.
All right, so that was just part of that exchange. And then I think just to bring it back down to some reality, I thought this was a very poignant moment because General Barr tried to put it back in perspective. And he sort of threw a question back at the committee. Most of them, of course, are Democrats there because they are the majority in the House. And he's talking about really what's going on in our streets and trying to paint a sort of a clear picture and pose a question. And this is clip seven. Let's listen.
Federal courts are under attack. Since when is it okay to try to burn down a federal court? If someone went down the street to the Prettyman Court here, that beautiful courthouse we have right at the bottom of the hill, and started breaking windows and firing industrial-grade fireworks in to start a fire, throw kerosene balloons in and start fires in the court, is that okay? Is that okay now? No, the U.S. Marshals have a duty to stop that and defend the courthouse, and that's what we are doing in Portland. We are at the courthouse defending the courthouse. We're not out looking for trouble.
So that was General Barr. Now, if you're wondering, well, he was able to speak then, that's because when the Republican members of the committee were given their time to question him, they let him talk. And so that's how that happened. It wasn't because the Democrats gave him any kind of time to talk. So that's the way it happened yesterday. It was pretty stunning, and you'll see more about it today. I hope you will watch it, actually. I think that the Attorney General, well, he comported himself beautifully. The other thing that he announced that we had not heard is that he has appointed an investigator to look into all of those unmaskings in the last months and actually last weeks of the Obama administration when they started going after Trump officials for no good reason. And he does have someone investigating that. We'll talk about more about that tomorrow, actually. I want to tell you that yesterday we talked a lot about Google and Facebook and Twitter censoring the doctor's presentation sponsored by the Tea Party Patriots and Jenny Beth Martin, who was our guest last Friday. They did this incredible presentation that countered the narrative of Dr. Fauci, just pure and simple. And so Twitter would not, you know, remove the video from their feed. They censored the president, shut down Don Jr. because he retweeted it, shut down his entire account. Google removed it. YouTube removed it. It's just a stunning, just hopefully will illustrate to you how dangerous the times are and the fact that, you know, these social media outlets are hell-bent on making sure that you don't know the truth. I think we could also say for certain they want to see that Donald Trump is not elected, and that is an important, you know, an issue in a free country. But secondly, they are cooperating fully with the leftist move to undermine our system of governance. And so that's why it's so dangerous. But I want to tell you that this morning there will be a hearing in the House. Oh, boy. Okay, but this is the U.S. House Judiciary Antitrust Subcommittee. And God willing, there'll be more sanity in that committee. I don't know. But they have their own reasons for coming after Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple. In fact, they're big time after Facebook right now because Mark Zuckerberg said that he would not censor election ads by different candidates. And so they're after him, and they have a motive now to make these CEOs accountable. So the CEOs will be appearing before that committee today. That'll be a pretty amazing hearing itself. The other thing is that the president, and what they're doing is they're looking at regulating them so that this is certainly what conservatives want to do. They want to have these social media companies put in the broad category of like public utilities where they must serve people and they can't claim, they cannot have the protections that they have right now and act as censors for content because the two things are mutually exclusive. They have to be held accountable about that. And that's why the president, by the way, is submitting a petition to the FCC for regulatory changes to hold them accountable for what they're doing. He did issue an executive order a few months ago upholding free and open debates on online platforms, as well he should, because certainly Twitter has gone after him, and the others have too, but Twitter the most blatant. By the way, Breitbart has been purged from Google search results, and so that's just another, that's a whole show, but I'll just tell you quickly, that's what's happened overnight. And so Daily Caller's hard to find too. It's active censorship, and we have to remember that we have to find sources. Go directly to Breitbart, not go through Google. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Well, these are certainly tough, tough times, aren't they? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years at only $5 a Bible. You know, I'm grateful that God has given Bible League a platform for more than 8 decades to address the other pandemic, and that's the shortage of Bibles all over the world in places like Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America. In fact, at Bible League, we determine that as few as 1 Christian in 10 has a Bible. What's that mean? That during this pandemic, many evangelical Christians elsewhere in the world cannot open their Bible and be reminded of God's promises, like 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But you know, during this time of sheltering in place, we can shelter in grace. Learn how you can be a blessing to believers around the world praying for a Bible by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org, or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
In His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality is coming soon.
My dad walked in the door and he said, Denise, I want to become a woman.
I struggled with my identity all the way through my life, lived 8 years as Laura Jensen until I found the Lord Jesus Christ.
The issues are unavoidable. They're on the news.
The White House in rainbow colors.
They're in our legislation.
The Texas bathroom bill.
In our schools.
Drag queen story hour.
Our entertainment, our social media.
We are taking biologically healthy young children and putting them at risk.
Every church in America is facing this. As Christians, we can't sit this one out.
Is it really possible that I can experience change?
The fact that there's a struggle doesn't mean that you're on the wrong path. Obeying God is a struggle. Holiness is a struggle.
There is hope for you. God loves you.
In His image, from American Family Studios, coming soon.
And you are made in the image of God.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
I'm old enough to remember when the worst controversy facing the NFL was Joe Namath's decision to wear pantyhose. My, how times have changed. Today, the NFL has turned into a social justice organization, more intent on scoring political points than extra points. The NFL announcing teams will now be allowed to post social justice messages in each end zone. They'll also play the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. Players also get to wear decals honoring victims of systemic racism. Now, this is interesting, because in 2016, the NFL refused to let the Dallas Cowboys wear decals on their helmets, honoring 5 police officers who were assassinated by a sniper. So it's okay to promote social justice but not police? Just out of curiosity, how is the NFL going to handle the fallout when hundreds of players stand at attention for the Black National Anthem but take a knee during the Star Spangled Banner? I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. This next topic is not on the front pages, but it probably should be, and that's why we're going to talk about it. Many of you are retired, or if you're not retired, you're paying into 401k accounts, and you are really not watching, probably, what these accounts are investing in. But the truth is, they're investing in corporate America. And while we've been, our money has been going there, we've been enjoying, you know, the money from these funds, the fund managers have been investing in things that are very disturbing. And whereas at one point in time, the fund managers were required to make wise investments that would make you, the investor, get the most out of your money, things have turned. They've turned so much that these investment funds, your retirement funds, whether they're federal or private or your 401ks, are investing in Chinese companies that are building up military weapons and other. That's a broad category. There are other things in China, but disturbing things, building up the Chinese economy, which is in turn the Chinese Communist Party trying to destroy the country. Then we also have the whole issue of the social issues. You've noticed, I'm sure, that corporate America has swung to the left, even Chick-fil-A. What's that all about? Well, my next guest is right in the thick of that, fighting sometimes a very lonely battle. Justin Danhoff is the general counsel for the Free Enterprise Project. He goes right into the lion's den in these corporate meetings and challenges them at so many levels. And I've asked him to join us this morning because there is something in the works that could actually be at least a partial solution to this problem. Justin, thank you for joining me this morning.
Well, thanks, Sandy. It feels less lonely when I can talk to you and your great audience. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know, you have some great support from many of us in D.C., but it really is. I mean, you're going up against some of the Goliaths. You've gone to, in fact, just drop names for us. What kind of confrontations have you had in the last few years with corporate leaders?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've taken on Bob Iger at Disney, the most powerful man in Hollywood. I've taken Jeff Bezos on toe-to-toe, Sundar Pichai, the head of Google, and many others. And I do it on behalf of a lot of Americans that don't realize that they actually have a voice in this fight, too. That, you know, Google deplatforming Breitbart means they're deplatforming thousands and tens of thousands, probably millions, of other everyday Americans that don't realize it's happening to them, too. So I take on the fight on behalf of many millions of Americans who don't realize what corporate America is doing to them and the effect that it has on our culture.
Interesting transition, because you may or may not know, I just talked about, before I took the break and before you joined me, I talked briefly about Breitbart being removed from the search engine, at least practically, for all practical purposes, not appearing in the search engine at Google. I think, you know, Daily Caller is another one, and there's a whole list of them. But what does that have to do with what we're talking about here, Justin?
Yeah, sure. So what I've been witnessing over the last decade plus is corporate America's march to the left. And there is one actor in Washington that's trying to do something about that. And that his name is Eugene Scalia, and he is the Secretary of Labor. And on the 30th of June, Department of Labor put out a proposed rulemaking that really strikes at the heart, at least in one area of the culture where companies are marching to the left, and that's in investments in private pensions and 401ks. These are generally more passive investments, as you said in your intro, that people don't often pay attention to on a day-to-day basis, right? They just trust the fund manager of their pension or their 401k to put their money to the best possible use. But what we've been witnessing and what labor, bless their hearts, noticed as well, is that under this, you know, fake moniker, this banner that used to be, you know, corporate social responsibility, it's now called ESG. And that stands for environment, social, and governance, right? This is what this is in practicality, is whatever a liberal fund manager wants to advance politically through their investing in corporations, right? And so, but then again, you say environment, you know, social and governance, who could be against that, right? These things all sound good. And that's why the left is so good at manipulating language and using language to their benefit. Because then if you went to the pension holders and said, well, you want to be environmentally friendly, right? You want to be, you know, a good social citizen and you want good governance. They would all say yes. But then if you look at what that means to a fund manager, that means funding companies that support abortion. Right? What does that have to do with anything? Well, that's a social cause that liberals believe in, right? That means pushing the LGBTQ agenda. That means making sure that boards of directors at corporations are diverse on what they look like, not in what how they think, because that's what the left believes in, right? Affirmative action for corporate America, not just for college campuses. And so these are the issues they end up pushing under the banner of ESG. Well, what labor has said is that if you are a fund manager of one of these private pensions, of a 401k, that's no longer appropriate. You are out of bounds of your fiduciary duty to the pension holders, to the 401k holders, and it needs to stop. So in this time that we live in of tremendous untruth, I'm standing up and applauding Secretary Scalia for speaking the truth.
Boy, me too. And I just must interject that he is the son of Antonin Scalia. He's one of the many sons. He's got a big family, and the president appointed him to be the Secretary of Labor not that long ago, and he's really doing some very effective things. But just before we go back to I want to talk about more detail about what's happening in corporate America. But let's be clear: this is a rule. Is it pending? Is it written? Is it? Is there anything we can do to make this rule happen?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So it's open to a comment period right now. So the public can comment. Go to come to nationalcenter.org. You can see the comment that we submitted. There's comments from others. You can go to the Labor's website. But comments are due by close of business tomorrow. So if you support this idea of stemming the tide of corporate liberalism, this is one way that you can contribute. Just send a quick note saying, we agree with Secretary Scalia. We don't want our money being weaponized for liberal political purposes. We want our money to grow so that either we can enjoy our retirement or we can retire someday. And guess what, Sandy? This supports liberals. This supports libertarians. This supports conservatives. It supports Marxists. It supports anybody that wants to retire, right? Because if you're investing politically, you're not investing for sound returns. You're investing to advance public policy or political ideas. You're not investing for sound returns. But look, liberals want to retire just the same as conservatives, right? So this rule actually benefits Americans of all political stripes.
Let me just interject. This whole business of public comments is probably like, you know, Justin, that most people don't know what that is. I think closer you get to the Beltway, the more people understand this. But this happens all the time where there'll be some proposed change. And these rules are not laws, but they do affect our lives very profoundly. We found that out during the Obama administration. But you have a chance as the public that's part of the fabric of these departments to actually weigh in. And they can make a difference, can't they?
Oh, yeah, it's not complicated. It doesn't have to be super wonky. Again, come to nationalcenter.org or just go to the Labor's website. It's a very easy form. You can fill it out online. You can do it anonymously if you don't want your name published. And you can just submit a quick note. Again, email me, jdanhoff@nationalcenter.org. Say, hey, how do I do this? I can run you through it. It's very, very simple. And look, Here's the point, Sandy. The left hates this. They hate this proposed rule. Elizabeth Warren and her cronies are going after Scalia guns blazing because Elizabeth Warren loves this political investing because it strikes at the heart of American capitalism, which she hates, right? And so Elizabeth Warren and the folks like AOC that believe in a more socialist future for the American economy, they are really going hard after Scalia, so we need to stand up and support him right now. This is a super important time.
All right, just to make it simple, people go to nationalcenter.org, and you guys have the comp. And does it say how to do this on your website?
We'll get that up there on the release. Yeah, we've got a press release out where we put our comment. We'll show folks where they can do it.
Okay, and also I want to put on our Facebook page your article in Breitbart, Cancel Culture Comes for Your Retirement. Cancel Culture Comes for Your Retirement, and that'll explain the background, some things we might not get to here. Justin, I'm going to give a practical example that my listeners are familiar with. First of all, let me just say it's not new that that companies are investing in bad things. We've been hearing that for a long time. Some of these investment firms have come up with, advertising that we will invest your money in socially conservative projects. But it is getting exponentially worse, and I think people understand. And it's gotten so bad that, for instance, American Family Association has been boycotting Target now for a couple of years. We did do damage to their bottom line, quite a bit of damage in that initial year. We had 1 million people sign the petition. And their profits, there were, I can't quote the numbers right now, but I know that things went down for them. And yet and the reason we boycotted was because they opened their restrooms up, restrooms and changing rooms to all genders. It didn't matter anymore. And there was just a whole series of abuses and videos taken of young girls. It's just been a disaster. Yet Target has ignored. They don't care that their bottom line went down. And so it was puzzling. Like, why would they do that? Isn't that what they're supposed to do? Aren't they supposed to, investors supposed to invest, and boards of directors supposed to do what's financially responsible and brings in more money? So can you explain that in light of what you're trying to do here?
Yeah, sure. Well, first, a little background on that. I actually confronted Brian Cornell that year at the shareholder meeting when they made that announcement. And it's even worse, right? It's even worse than that. When he was on CNBC, they questioned him about this as well, right after the decision was made to open up their bathrooms and changing rooms so that little girls and grown men could be right next to each other. And he said, well, look, when we put ads with African-Americans in them in the 60s in our flyers, a lot of white Americans were angry at us then, too. Think about what he said there. He is comparing white racists from decades ago to Americans today that don't want grown men changing next to their little daughters. That is deplorable, and that's what I confronted with at the shareholder meeting right to his face, and he had no defense for what he said. But yet he, again, continues to keep such a policy in place. And part of it stems from the fact that you guys put together a great boycott, right? But they rely on the fact that liberals will replace that, that liberals will be so happy with what they've done that they're going to come back in droves. But it's part of a bigger problem that you and I have discussed before, too, where there's not enough voices from our side speaking out. So they hear a lot more from the left, they get a lot more pressure from the left, and they fear the left. Corporate America does not fear conservatives. You know, we can take a look at, you know, the gun issue is another great example on this, right? Dick's Sporting Goods admits that they're losing money by pulling guns and ammunition from their stores, but Ed Stack, their CEO, says he doesn't care because it's a social issue he believes in. Right. And he gets more pressure from the left to pull the guns than from the Second Amendment folks to put them back on the shelves. And so that's the issue. As long as the left speaks louder, speaks more often to corporate America and conservatives go about their day and just kind of don't realize what's happening with the culture in corporate America, the left is going to continue to have victory after victory after victory.
Justin, what's your sense of that? Like, I know maybe there's nothing quantifiable, but if you were to compare the dollars the left spends in American stores and corporations versus the dollars that the people that are more conservative, family people, is there any kind of a way of kind of quantifying that? Does the left have more money than the right for spending?
No, it's actually relatively balanced. And in investing power, conservatives actually generally have more money in investing power, because if you think about the nature of who's conservative and who's liberal in America, there's an age difference, right? There's a generational gap. You know, as folks get older, they tend to become more conservative, and those are the folks that have more money that generally have more money in the stock market. And so if we were to, you know, use our powers for good, we could have much more impact than we're having. But again, most conservatives invest passively, right? They're not actively looking at what these companies are engaged in, where they put their money in. And so that's why, you know, at the National Center, we try and expose as much as we can about the bad corporate actors out there. And yeah, the Google deplatforming of Breitbart, that was just wow. I bet, you know, a bunch of my friends at Breitbart sent me that last night. That's just the most recent example. You can't open a Wall Street Journal on any given, you know, Tuesday without finding 10 more examples of companies taking actions that offend Christian, conservative, and traditional values. And unless we use our dollars to try and effectuate change, there's not going to be change. And unless you use, you know, things like the comment period that closes again by tomorrow with the Department of Labor and Secretary Scalia, if the left puts in more comments and the left, you know, waters down this rule, it's not going to have much teeth left. So we need to give him courage. We need to give him, you know, be the wind beneath his wings.
Yeah. Okay. So this is really a simple thing to do, and yet it's such a big problem. So I'm going to challenge each and every one of you to take a minute today. Go to nationalcenter.org, and you can see the comments that have been written by Dustin and his group there, and that will help you. Then go to Department of Labor, and Justin, you're going to put instructions on your National Senate.
We'll have everything in there.
And also Justin's article, which will give you some background and will enforce some of the things we talked about this morning. Let's help Eugene Scalia, who's trying to do the right thing. This is a small thing we can do that could have a very large impact. Justin Danhoff, thank you, Justin. It's great to talk. Justin, thanks for talking to us.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Friendships is offering an amazing opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you've been looking for? Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session starts August 10th. Mission Outreach, the Middle East.
If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A Florida man threatened AFA through Facebook, saying he was coming to Tupelo to kill every single person who runs your group. Yes, I literally mean killing all of you. Why? Because he didn't like AFA's commitment to the biblical teaching on identity, human sexuality, and marriage. AFA reported the threats to Facebook, but was told that the threat was not a policy violation. AFA appealed the decision to no avail. The threatening man now sits in federal prison. Facebook said the threats didn't violate their policy. A federal judge said the threats violated federal law. Interesting, isn't it?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Organizers scheduled a rally to support local police on Long Island. Anti-cop haters weren't having it. Organizers had a Facebook page with 6,300 RSVPs. Facebook took it down. Ted Nugent was coming to play the national anthem, so the state police detail to bring him from the airport was pulled. When officers volunteered, they were told they'd be reported to Internal Affairs. Then they were told they couldn't have Nugent because he's a racist homophobe. Then authorities said they'd pull power from the park. When they discovered organizers would bring their own generators, they said, well, Nugent's from out of state, so the health department will meet him at the airport and quarantine him for 14 days. The long train of usurpations and abuses continues. Stay strong, my friends. We can't let them win.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last night brought another round of riotous attacks on federal property in Portland, Oregon, and copycat actions elsewhere in cities across America. These are not isolated incidents of legitimate and peaceful protests gone wrong. They are manifestations of a Marxist revolution underway for the purpose of overthrowing our constitutional republic. Local authorities led by left-wing Democrats have declined to enforce the laws prohibiting such criminality. Police officers have been demeaned, defunded, and demoralized by their community's elected leaders who are aligned ideologically with, and in some cases working on behalf of, the revolutionaries. Increasingly, those officers are being attacked and harmed. Every one of the governors, mayors, and city councilmen implicated in aiding and abetting this insurrection is in violation of their oaths of office to defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. They must be held accountable. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
If you want to be a drag queen and your parents don't let you, you need new parents.
In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality is coming soon. And you have an opportunity to preview this movie from American Family Studios on August 1st.
The issues are unavoidable. They're on the news.
I did not have a chance to comment on how good the White House looked in rainbow colors.
The preview will feature testimonies from former LGBT individuals.
My dad walked in the door and he said, Denise,
I want to become a woman.
And a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual warfare waged during the making of this documentary.
There will be protests and objections to us talking about this topic.
The powers of darkness do not want truth to go out.
For the last year and a half, we have met and prayed specifically over this project.
Visit inhisimage.movie to register for the free sneak preview coming August 1st. That's inhisimage.movie.
And you are made in the image of God.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That is, of course, the latest movie to come out of American Family Studios. They have done such great movies this last few years, and this is no exception. This is gripping. You will want to see this, and of course, you can have your chance to do that, at least get a preview of it, August the 1st, and you go to inhisimage.movie and, register to watch that. I just want to bring a couple of practical things to your attention before I introduce my next guest. I don't need probably to convince you how seriously messed up our country has become over gender, transgenderism. It's in the news almost every day, whether it's women's sports or it's bathrooms or it's children in school being persuaded by their teachers, if they want to be a boy, they should have a boy's name without parental consent. It's hormone blockers given to small children. It's just a series of nightmare scenarios that's making the world much more difficult to navigate. And I want to give you something practical. The Supreme Court, just threw a decision by Neil Gorsuch, tremendously disappointing, redefined sex in federal law to include transgenderism and, gender confusion. So that's changed everything. And less than 30 days after that decision came down by the Supreme Court, the ACLU filed a lawsuit to force a Roman Catholic hospital to perform a transgender surgery on a transgender man who's suing them because they wouldn't do that, wouldn't remove her healthy sexual parts and make her a man. And so the first lawsuit's been cast. It's just the first one of many, and that's because of our Supreme Court and especially because of Neil Gorsuch's vote, which actually swung the court. Just this morning, I got information. I heard this a couple of days ago. Hallmark Channel has announced its plans to start introducing gay and transgender storylines in its movies. And so that was maybe a bastion for some of you, but no more. We are in dangerous times. There's no question about it, and that's why this film, In His Image, produced by American Family Studios, is so important. Joining me this morning is the director of In His Image and the producer. She's a producer at American Family Studios. She's given us such really cool things as Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent, which I'm a fan of, and the Summer Snow movie. Kendra, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Sandy. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on your show, as always.
All right. Well, I just gave a bunch of reasons why is timely, but I want to know for you why this, but you could write, you could produce a film on so many things right now. Why this for you?
Well, this issue used to be something that you just heard about and other people struggled with. And over the last 20, 30 years, it has become something that every church is dealing with. And AFA had it about 2 years ago. We received so many emails from people saying, my daughter just came out as gay. My son thinks he's a woman. Do you have anything for me to be able to help them? And AFA approached me about directing this documentary. And at the time, it kind of, to be honest with you, Sandy, it felt like one of those topics that was like, let's let somebody else do that one. I believe in it. I believe that needs to be made. But I'm not confident enough to speak to these issues, but the Lord really impressed it upon my heart that this resource was so needed, and I began researching. And it's funny because sometimes God will raise you up, and then He will bring the need to you. And in the course of the last 2 years, I have had family members, I have had close friends, I have had people in my church that have been struggling with these issues that I have been able to personally speak truth into their life lovingly and be able to feel confident that Scripture is clear on these issues. There is hope for those that struggle with sexual brokenness. And I went from a place of maybe insecurity to confidence. And I want to challenge our listeners. You might not personally be struggling with the issues mentioned in this documentary, but somebody you know needs you to throw them a lifeline. And we want you to watch this film so you can be equipped to do that.
Kendra, of course, I certainly know this is true. I don't think you'd have to really do much convincing to people who, you know, have grandchildren and hear about what's happening. And I think that churches are ill-equipped. Mm. I have to tell you, without going into a lot of detail, probably 15 years ago, very good friend of mine, a very good friend of mine I've known since I was in my early 20s, came to me and showed me a picture of himself in drag. And I was so shocked. I was shocked out of my mind. He's a Christian. I know I've known him and his family for years. He ended up going through the complete operation, changing his gender. The family's broken up. The kids are devastated. I walked through all of that. But the point I want to make is that there was no one. I went everywhere. I'm in a position to know a lot of people. And I contacted church leaders. Mm. I contacted psychologists of the highest order. And no one could help him. Wow. No one was equipped to help him in any way. Wow. And that was a real shock to me. And so I think it's not that different now. I don't think pastors mm-hmm. have a clue how to handle this. And they're not talking about it from the pulpit. And
they're afraid to because of our laws.
Yes,
they're really afraid.
Exactly. So given that, I have to say, AFA is taking, this is a big step.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big step. We've just had already this threats against the lives of the staff at AFA. And so this is a very bold step. Now, let's talk about what people will see. I mean, kind of give us an idea. How do you handle a movie, a so-called movie like this? How do you make it entertaining, and how do you lay it out? In what format and, you know, elements?
Wow. Okay. So I honestly approached the documentary the way that I learned about this topic. And I am a millennial, so I started my research on YouTube, you know, and really I was like, what are other people, what is culture saying about this topic? And so we've included a lot of cultural references. We'll have Twitter feeds, this magazine posted this, Facebook said this, these YouTube videos of these, you know, young kids that are taking hormones and charting their journeys. And so we've utilized these cultural references to be the opposing voice rather than interviewing people that disagree with us on this topic. We allow culture to be that voice, and then we confront those issues from a biblical perspective. So it kind of goes back and forth between some things that you may have heard, probably a lot of things that you haven't heard. For me, some of the most shocking things in my research wasn't just that this is happening in secular circles, but really the affront that the church is facing and how secular the church has become on this issue is the fact that we have queer hymns that are being sung that are specifically written to be affirming to this lifestyle that are being sung on Sunday mornings in churches. We have the Gay Bible. We have a queer commentary on the Bible. We have people saying that Sodom, we have a clip of this in the film. It makes me cringe every time. A woman who is apparently a pastor, she's wearing a collar, she's at a TED Talk, she's holding a Bible, and she says, Sodom and Gomorrah is a queer positive story. I mean, there's so much deception on this issue that's infiltrated the church. So we spend a lot of time in the film talking about the authority of God's word. And if God is the creator, if he is the potter and we are the clay, then he gets to determine who we are and what our purpose is. And we spend a lot of time in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 building some foundational principles that actually are all throughout Scripture. We go into the Hebrew words. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? Because I struggled with this topic at the beginning. I said, okay, if I'm going to tell people you need to live according to the gender that God made you, What does that mean? Does that mean that, you know, a girl has to like pink and a boy has to like blue, or that I have to wear high heels? Because for me personally, there are, you know, I hate shopping. I'm always afraid, is someone going to take my girl card away because I don't like shopping? You know, and there's these cultural stereotypes of what it means to be male and female, and I don't think that's founded in Scripture. So I had to look to God's word and say, what is God? How does he define a man and a woman? And part of it is biology, but yes, it goes further than that into what is the heart of a man and what is the heart of a woman. And I think there's so much joy for us when we allow the Creator to tell us how we were made, and we start to delight in that. That's the subtitle of the film is, In His Image, Delighting in God's Plan of Gender and Sexuality. So we focus on the authority of God's word. We also focus on the scientific evidence because, you know, the narrative now is that we are on the wrong side of history and the wrong side of science as well. And often some of the studies that are quoted are so deceiving. And I became so convinced that the science really is on the biblical side. It's in lines up with our worldview. And Sandy,
maybe because our God is the God of all truth, maybe
right?
The science is actually discovering the truth. I think that's the key to this, Kendra,
exactly.
Because it is truth. I want to say also, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I've noticed that you have some great contributors here. One of them grabs my eye because I know most of these people, but Robert Gagnon, I've heard him speak so often. He really writes so eloquently about the God's design for men and women. And I think people probably don't understand, and I didn't, that attack against our gender roles, our assigned male and female gender by God himself, is part of God's intricate design. It's the basis upon which all things happen.
Absolutely.
And a strike against that is really a strike against the heart of God himself. You also have some things that some four people featured who have personal stories. Can you just briefly tell us about that?
Oh, my goodness. The power of a testimony is huge. And we have some phenomenal, like life-transforming testimonies in this film. We have, if you read the AFA Journal recently, we've actually been telling their stories in our recent issues. But we have Laura Perry. She lived 8 years as a man, and she had all the surgeries and started transitioning to live as Jake. And God radically transformed her life. She had a mom who was in church praying for her. She had a whole community of women that were interceding for her. And she ended up coming to faith in Christ and eventually living as a woman. And this community came around her and said, we're going to buy you new clothes. We're going to help you get a new job. We're going to help you start your new life. We're going to pray for you when you miss the old life and you struggle with those inner turmoil. Powerful story. We have Walt High. He lived 8 years as a woman before transitioning back to a man. We also have Stephen Black, who he's been on AFR many a times, his ministry First Stone. He was a gay man and had same-sex attraction, and God delivered him from that. But he also has 30 years of experience counseling people who struggle with this. And so he has a wealth of knowledge on this topic, as well as we have Denise Schick, which is an interesting perspective because it was her father who at age 8 told her, hey, I secretly think I'm a man. This is our secret.
Wow.
I'm sorry, a woman, secretly think he was a woman. And so he actually left their family, and she had to deal with the grief of losing a father to the transgendered life. And she's able to help counsel families. So there's so much to learn from these stories.
Really and truly. It's just powerful. It's in his image. It's going to be, by the way, if you want to see a bit of a preview of this, it's a pre-show event. It's happening Saturday, August 1st, that's coming right up, and you go to inhisimage.movie, and sign up. What will they see?
Yeah, so you're going to see some behind-the-scenes sneak peeks from the film, some of the testimonies. You're also going to see some of the spiritual warfare that happened behind the scenes making this film. And it's a free event, so all you have to do is give us your email, and we'll send you a link so you can watch it on August 1st.
Kendra, another great product reduces it too much, but ministry, powerful ministry tool. We thank you so much. This is going to be used broadly because there's such a need for it. I don't think there's anything like it out there. And so thank you for filling this gap and for answering God's call on something so controversial. I wish we had more time to talk.
Well, thank you for speaking the truth out every day on these issues.
Well, I try. I swing away. And I actually think God probably doesn't need my help as much as I think he does sometimes. I think God pretty much establishes his truth through our experiences. And I thank him for being so faithful. And I thank you too, Kendra. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.